The US economy has reached an important milestone. It's finally regained all the private sector jobs it lost during the recession, followed the 2008 global financial crisis. Official data out on Friday night revealed that private sector payroll numbers in the US are now back to their December 2007 peak of more than 116 million. Our business editor, Cheryl Bagwell, joins us with a preview of the week ahead. Cheryl, hello there.
Hi, Fran.
Well, it's been a long, slow road to recovery for the US economy. Can we say the US labour market is now back to normal, Cheryl?
Well, not exactly, Fran. The labour market might be back to where it was in 2007, but of course the US population has grown a lot since then. It should have been adding many more millions of jobs than it has been. I think it's regained something like 8.9 million jobs, which is about what it lost in the Great Recession, as they call it. But it needs to add a lot more than that just to keep pace with the growth in the population. And of course, making matters worse has been the cutbacks in the government sector in the US over the past 6 years. Public sector payrolls over there are still something like 400,000 below their pre-recession peak. And you could say that those jobs may never return. So that explains why the jobless rate in the US appears to be kind of stuck around 6.7%, which is still high historically for the US. But of course, the US labour market is in much better shape than it was. The jobs data that came out on Friday night revealed that the economy had added a further 192,000 new jobs in March, a solid result, but not spectacular in the US context. But at least it points to further improvements ahead in the labour market, because government cutbacks in the US are expected to slow this year. And the weather-related weakness that we've seen over the winter months that's been hitting the economy and the jobs market, well, that's, you know, coming to an end, of course. The good news in the data really is that the participation rate in the US is rising again. It'd been falling. Now, that's a sign that Americans are feeling more confident about the economy, that they're coming back into the marketplace to look for work. Now, that in turn should give the US Federal Reserve the confidence to keep reducing its bond buying program, known, of course, as quantitative easing, at the pace of, what, $10 billion US dollars every month.
And talking about quantitative easing, or QE, the US is ending it slowly, but the European Central Bank is appearing open to the idea. Why is it thinking about QE now?
Well, you're right. Certainly the outlook for the Eurozone economy is improving. I mean, 2 years ago, the economy and the single currency was on the brink of collapse. Now there is growth, although it's very feeble. But the concern now is that the recovery may be too weak and perhaps coming too late to avert a bad bout of Japanese-style deflation or falling prices. The Eurozone unemployment rate has fallen a touch, but it's still very high at 11.9%, and that's weighing down on wages and in turn consumer prices. In fact, annual inflation in the Eurozone fell to 0.5% in March. That's about a quarter of what the bank has targeted. Now, the problem with falling prices is that people become less willing to spend. I mean, why buy a dress for $100 when you know the price will fall and perhaps keep on falling? Better to just leave your money in the bank. Now, when consumers don't spend or borrow, economies don't grow, unemployment worsens, and so the cycle just continues downward. The ECB can't cut rates any further to stimulate growth and thus inflation, because rates are already at, what, 0.25%, you know, virtually zero. So last week, the ECB's president, Mario Draghi, signalled he may now finally turn to more unconventional stimulus, QE. It'll consider injecting massive amounts of cash into the financial system through its own bond buying program. Now, why didn't it resort to this before? Because for the ECB, QE is rather tricky. Most central banks undertake QE by buying their own government's bonds. You know, the US Fed buys US Treasuries. The British, Bank of England buys UK gilts. The ECB, however, has 18 governments as its master. So which government bonds does it buy? If it buys Italian government bonds, it would be seen as favouring that country over others, which it can't do under its mandate. However, the ECB clearly, and has the support, it seems, of the powerful German Bundesbank, appears determined to find a way around this problem. It might consider buying the private debt of banks or a basket of government bonds or whatever. It seems determined now to tackle deflation. So it looks like the money printing presses will be rolling on even if they're winding down in the US.
Well, not so here in Australia. There are no risk of cheaper money. The talk is all about when interest rates will rise. That's in order to cool that super hot property market. The March jobs figures out this week are going to add to that debate.
Well, yes, if the recent upsurge we saw in jobs growth, if that continues, then the RBA will likely come under increased pressure again to lift the cash rate, certainly before the year is out. Remember, in February, employment rose by 47,300, I think, jobs, full-time jobs mostly, which was a huge jump and probably an aberration. Chances are it will correct when the March figures come out on Thursday. But if they don't, or if, you know, we just get some jobs growth, then rate rises could be, you know, back on the agenda. Certainly the RBA...
Because it all points to our economy growing.
Yes, exactly. And the RBA is certainly becoming more confident about the outlook for the economy. You know, we may be getting a housing and consumer spending-led recovery. And if this transition from mining investment, you know, continues to go reasonably well, and there's bound to be hiccups, then that's going to support jobs growth. Indeed, if you look beyond the next few years towards the medium term, which all policymakers are doing right now, the problem won't be one of not enough jobs, but rather of not enough workers. RBA Governor Glenn Stevens pointed this out in his speech last week, a day after Martin Parkinson's one. And he said that, you know, in a decade, the numbers of people retiring will start to edge ahead of the numbers of new entrants into the workforce. That's due to our ageing population, of course. Now, with a smaller proportion of the population working, and a larger needing, you know, aged care support, we're going to need, what, increased economic growth, productivity, workforce participation, just to keep up with our living standards.
You know what we're going to need is a big investment in skill development.
Yes, and also, we, as we've been hearing, we'll also need to lift our revenue base to pay for it, increase the GST, or at least broadening it to cover health and education, because those costs are rising exponentially. Indeed, I think we can conclude from the current jawboning and dire warnings on this subject that a change to the GST is probably inevitable. Indeed, the Prime Minister's in Japan right now. They've just increased their GST from 5 to 8%. So he can kind of see firsthand how that's gone down with the general public, even if he doesn't get his trade deal up today.
And we'll be talking about the potential trade deal a little later with NFF. As Cheryl mentioned, Tony Abbott is in Japan, is in Tokyo today, and there is time allotted for them to sign the free trade agreement, but we're not sure if the deal's done yet. Just finally, Cheryl, what can we expect from the share market this morning?
Well, a pretty tough start to the trading day looks likely, Fran, based on futures trading. The SPY futures contract is down 41 points or 0.8%. Now, that's after investors dumped tech stocks in the US on Friday on fears an asset bubble may be forming. The tech-heavy NASDAQ index is now down more than 5% over the past month, although analysts say they don't expect the sort of crash we saw when the dot-com boom ended something like 14 years ago. But it's likely Australian tech stocks will be hit today as the herd mentality takes over. The big question now is whether this is the start of a more broader correction in the market as we move into a more uncertain time of year for stocks. The US dollar also weakened on Friday despite that solid jobs report. That in turn gave our currency a boost, Fran. This morning it's buying 92.9 US cents.
Thanks very much, Cheryl. Cheryl Bagwell, our business editor.